car drivers, we tee up and that ball goes sailing up into the sky, holds there for a moment, and then...
Only on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
One Tom Plummer, the name is the number. Charleston, Columbia, Greenville, upstate of South Carolina, depend on them. If it's septic tank, if it's disposal, I hope it's disposal, not septic tank. I hope it's not burst pipes. I hope it's not bad drainage stuff for you. I hope you don't have backed up drains anywhere. Think about our friends at One Tom Plummer. So when emergency happens and you've got the drain coming up and the smell, ugh, then don't think about Google, just think about One Tom Plumber. You're going to save yourself one step. The name is the number. Clemson grad started these three in the upstate and the Midlands and the coast, and they'll take care of you. So when it does come time, go with the one you can trust. It's One Tom Plumber. The name is the number. To our guest lines, the big dog, ESPN play-by-play voice, Roy Philpott. Good morning, friend. How you doing this morning?
Mickey, Sam, doing well. Hope you guys are too. Happy New Year. It's been a minute.
I know. We missed you. We're always watching you. We're always listening to you. And I'll start. Are you already in Austin, Texas, or are you still in the upstate?
No, I'm still in the upstate. We'll fly out here in a little bit to head over to Austin, yes.
All right. You're not worried about it, but you're still my weather guy. Any vortex? We got some rain with 37 degrees overnight. Got any chance at all? Some snow?
No, it doesn't look good. And about 24 hours ago, there was a lot of stuff happening. There was an erroneous GFS model that was pushing snow to the upstate. That thing always overcooks the winter storms. I actually responded to a tweet from upper management there at the station yesterday because he was concerned about it. He really wasn't concerned. He's actually an anti-snow person. He's a snow hater. Never really understood snow haters. But there was there's a GFS model that was overcooking a winter storm that looked like it was going to dump on top of us. All the models now agree that low pressure that's forming off the East Coast is going to be a little bit too far out, and that means no snow here. So, yeah, unfortunately, no, I don't see anything happening. And, you know, maybe though in the next couple of weeks, it is an active pattern, and there's going to be a lot of cold snaps coming through the area, so we'll have to wait and see.
More sunsplash, less of that for me is I want to be on the golf course. My wife is an assistant principal in the school district here, and she's always, you know, looking at weather, you know, and thinking about weather. She does the car line stuff and then, you know, the buses and all that kind of stuff. They think about all that. And she said, don't follow Chris Justice from Channel 4. So why? She says, he overcooks it, man. Like, it's always look out. But it's on Twitter and she follows him. I'm like, well, of course, man, because he wants you to follow him. Like, if it's 70 degrees, you're not going to follow him. If it's 20
I think Chris degrees. Does a good job. I do have issues at times when everybody's yelling about how accurate they are. You know, I mean, it's kind of a hard profession to be that way, but no, he does a fine job, and you know, he's enthusiastic. I appreciate the energy, and I think he called this one correctly. Not everybody gets it right all the time. All right. That's part of being a meteorologist, I would say.
Right. I just follow you, and when you tweet about it, that means that it's something to worry about. Until that point in time, I'm not worried about it. You're at Texas A&M in Texas. This is in Austin. I think Austin's one of your favorite places.
I don't see how people go there and be like, this is not a good spot. I mean, just start with the food, the barbecue, the steakhouses, whatever. I mean, it's a good spot to go to. And Texas, their arena, Mickey, is pretty nice, and that would be an understatement. Moody Coliseum is one of the newer venues in America. I think it's like 3 years old, and it's plush. I mean, it's pretty sweet. So, yeah, I enjoy going down there. It's also nice when they have a good basketball team, and they've beaten two ranked teams back-to-back games. They just beat Vanderbilt at home on Wednesday, and then they won at Alabama last weekend. So, yeah, to know that they're playing better and they're playing like a tournament team, especially with their starting five, it's good. And then on top of that, you get the rivalry, which, you know, I've done this game in baseball before in the postseason, which was as juiced of a game as I've ever called. in baseball, you know, in the NCAA tournament. I did that one at Texas A&M. That was 2 years ago. To get it in hoops is pretty good, and Texas A&M is really good in basketball this year, surprisingly. So, yeah, it's I'm looking forward to getting down there and seeing what this game is all about tomorrow.
All right, we're familiar. These are teams that's a little farther away from us, and new SEC or fairly new SEC entrants here. How does that rivalry compare to Clemson, South Carolina? You know, the Alabama, Auburn, something we're used to over here. I would imagine like money and oil money and big Texas money everywhere is probably one of the differences compared to that. But is it similar or different in any way compared to our just natural rivals? They just hate each other like we do.
That's a good question. It is different, and I'm trying to figure out the right way to frame it. Like, Texas is one of the biggest brands in sports. I mean, there's no doubting that. You feel that on campus, whether it's football, basketball, what have you. You feel it in terms of, you know, the dollars. I don't want to say the facilities. That sounds a little pretentious, but to step down that road. I think, like, when I've called rivalry games with Texas in the past, this may be a really good way to describe it. And I talk about, like, their rivals. And, like, for instance, A&M, that baseball game I called, there were a lot of Texas fans that tweeted at me, hey, A&M is not our rival. Our rival is Oklahoma. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's kind of like this perspective where I don't want to say they feel like they're better than Texas A&M,
yeah,
but they kind of do. So it's like that big brother, little brother thing.
Yeah.
And then the Aggies are more of like you just feel like this, I don't want to say blue collar because that would be disrespectful, but there's that element of it. So there's that component of it, but they don't like each other. I think Texas A&M, like when you do a game there, they're more respectful.
Yeah.
You know, they don't boo, where Texas will do that, and there may be a little bit more vitriol at times. So there's that side of it, but it is a rivalry, and it is fierce, and you feel the competitive nature between the two teams when you call a game involving both. So now again, I've never done in hoops, so I'm unsure of what that will be like, but I know Moody is sold out, and they're both playing really well right now, so that helps, and I think that'll give the game even more juice tomorrow.
I've been to A&M twice for football, both Clemson trips out there, and the nicest people in the world. I think that's the best college stadium, man. Kyle Field's amazing. The surprising part I heard from Clemson fans going to the playoff game at Texas last year was that it felt very corporate. It felt like very rich, but not like do or die death, because our oil fields are doing pretty well, and our retirement plans are doing pretty well, and our private jets are going to take us out of here to better things anyway. So, and maybe it's December. Maybe, you know, worried about getting our next Maserati or something. But it just felt, and they said it felt very corporate and very rich rather than do or die South football, maybe. I don't know if that's
Fair enough. Yeah, and I get that. I think for that game, you know, Texas, what was Texas, about a 10-point favorite,
yeah,
or a 14-point favorite,
yeah,
something like that. So I think when the fan base expects to win, you know, it's got that side to it. You know, if you were to have been there, I would say when A&M was there at the end of last season, when Texas upset the Aggies, I mean, that place looked like it was on fire, especially in the second half when they were able to bottle up Marcel Reed. So, yeah, I think that's valid. And, you know, the interesting thing with basketball, Matthew McConaughey has played a big role in their facilities there. And so, like, when you walk into Moody, There's the all right, you know, written literally on the tunnel. And I think he's going to be there tomorrow. Like, I'm hoping I get a chance to see him and maybe introduce myself. I think that'd be pretty cool. So there's that vibe to it too, and it's legitimate. Like, he has a presence there. He helped fund the building of that arena, and so that side is a little bit different too.
All right, I tried to talk you into getting the cell phone number of the Navy quarterback. You didn't. So can you get McConaughey's phone number then, a cell, like y'all exchange? Like, hey,
I don't think so.
Up.
No, I don't think it works that way. I would just be happy to get like a handshake or a bro hug or dapping it up or whatever it is he does. I don't even know. I wouldn't even know what to do. Like, what do you do? Do you do the handshake?
I don't know.
Do you kind of lean in a little bit? I'm not really sure.
I don't know. Don't do what he did in the the Wall Street movie there, where he does the noises at lunch. Don't do that one. Hey, Texture wants to know, to Franklin Barbecue down on 11th Street. Apparently, that's a famous barbecue pit there.
No, like, typically, that's a good call. I've heard about it. I've heard of a couple steakhouses. My typical go-to spot is Salt Lake, which is south of Austin in Driftwood.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's just kind of what I was first introduced to. And I would put it up there against any barbecue here, like it's one of my favorite spots.
Yeah. All right, a couple of things from the national championship game. I want to get your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. Boy, what an interesting deal! And in Indiana's, obviously they're. I've never seen anything like this. I talked about it all week long, Roy. They're not penalized. They got three penalties a game for 26 yards a game. They do great on third down conversions, third down defense, completion percentages, like every stat out there. Second in scoring offense and second in total defense and scoring defense. Like, just fundamentally, I've not seen anything like this. And one of the things we talked about on the show is Mendoza's going to be the number one pick. They don't have anybody else projected the first two rounds. That this is wild what Cignetti has built. What do you anticipate? Can Miami do what very few have done and keep the game close against Indiana?
Yeah, we've been talking about this for, it feels like, 3 weeks on satellite radio. Maybe my favorite stat for Indiana is Fernando Mendoza's stat line the last two games, yeah, where he has 5 incomplete passes and 8 touchdowns thrown. Yeah. I mean, think about that. In, you know, against Alabama and Oregon, and those are his numbers. Like, I mean, he's turned out to be the college version of Tom Brady. I think it starts with him. It starts with the head coach, Kurt Cignetti. They are so precise. That's always the word that I use. Like, there's no misstep. Eyes aren't looking in the wrong direction. Running backs hit the hole at the exact right time it opens up. No, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. And think about it, Mickey. I mean, if they win Monday night, I think that they will. If they win, they're the first team since the mid-1890s to go 16-0. That doesn't even compute. And they're doing it without the 4 and 5 stars. So, I mean, it starts with Cignetti, his belief. I think he's treating this and telling his team that it's just another game, as weird as that sounds, even though we all know that it's not. And they fully bought in. We've never seen anything like it. And I'm curious, like, okay, year 3 next year, did they do this again? Because we thought there was going to be a drop-off this year. Fernando Mendoza, I had him at Cal. I had him when they lost in Tallahassee at Florida State, one of the ugliest games in the history of college football.
I watched
it. I liked him. I thought he was a good player. He had an engaging personality. This is what he is, the best quarterback in, you know, since Joe Burrow. I mean, that's what he's playing like right now. And he's doing it without first-round wide receivers and tight ends and offensive linemen, all those weapons that LSU team had. So, it's hard to explain. It really is. But it starts with Cignetti and Mendoza, and they they figured out something and have developed some kind of cheat code that I don't know that we ever could have forecasted it. Indiana, of all places, too. It's just wild.
All right, I've been listening on satellite radio a lot, and I know you got a Sunday deal. Are you working this Sunday? Because I got a story for you. I got a thought for you.
No, we're not doing Sunday because we're on site. They're sending a bunch of folks on site at Miami Gardens the day before the national championship. So I'm off Sunday this week.
All right. The next time we talk about it, I expect this, and I don't want credit for it, but I've been talking about this the last few days. Chris Hampton is the secondary coach at Oregon. He played at South Carolina. You remember, he was a really good player, co-defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I think if I'm Chris Hampton and I walk out of the game with Indiana, I'm telling my guys, I know we gave it 56 points, but I thought our secondary played great. I thought the coverage was unbelievable. Oregon had them blanketed, and they gave up 56 because of the precision in those small windows, and those receivers caught everything. Yeah. Is that absurd? Yeah. We played good in the secondary and gave up 56?
It is absurd, yes. But I think the key in what you said there, and it's something I've talked about too, is Mendoza, there could be a window, like one square inch, like on the move, across the field, and he's got to throw it 35 yards on a frozen rope, and that's the only place he can put the football to make the catch. And, like, that's what he does every single play. I think that's valid. I think, you know, that game, too, when you come out and Dante Moore throws a pick six on the first play, and, like, they knew that play was coming. That's the other side of it. You know, D'Angelo Ponce knew that that's where he was going. It was bite, bait, and execute, or whatever it was, the three-word phrase he utilized. They knew that was coming. And so you just knew, man. Like, Dante Moore was seeing ghosts in their first matchup in Eugene at week 5. And he even admitted that afterwards. And then you start the game with a pick six, and that just kind of set the tone. There was no way. Give him credit. Now, they came right back down the field. They scored a touchdown. It was tied at 7. But still, you just knew. It wasn't going to be their night. So, yeah, I mean, it's the precision, absolutely what you said. And, man, they know what's coming. They know what's coming, and it feels like they know what's coming, even if the offense doesn't know what's coming that they're playing against. That makes sense. So it's crazy.
Last Friday on the show, I said Indiana is going to destroy Oregon. And people thought I was crazy. And I said, but let me give you one word. These are clinicians. Like, this will be a clinic tonight because they're not going to turn it over. I didn't know Oregon was going to give them short fields like that. But they're not going to turn it over. They're not going to get penalized.
Yeah.
Oregon will make a mistake or two. And then once they smell the blood in the water, there were clinicians. And I use that word over and over and over. You'll see a clinic tonight. Sam Jones, my producer, got tired of me texting him. The first play of the game, my text to clinicians. The next time, the next great pass, clinicians.
Four different times.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I blew him up with the word clinicians. I've never seen a football. Maybe the Patriots. Maybe. Yeah. But you don't see clinicians very much in football.
So you originally asked, like, how, you know, can Miami keep it close? And I will say this. Like, I submitted my pick to ESPN.com, and I said 27-17 Indiana, which implies – and I recognize that that's more than the point spread, but it implies that, you know, that game could be close, at least entering the fourth quarter. And I do think Miami is constructed with Reuben Bain Jr., Keem Mesidor, Keontae Scott, their defense. I do think that they're constructed. And by the way, now their defensive play caller, Corey Heatherman, work with Kurt Cignetti at JMU for a number of years. So I wonder, like, could that play a role in this game? But at the line of scrimmage, they overmatch Indiana's size, right, which is really non-existent. Now, it hadn't mattered so far, but I think Miami does do some things. And if Carson Beck, let's say Miami got it first, they chew up a little bit of clock. You know, can you turn the tables and actually get a lead on these guys while executing a 15-play, 7-minute drive at some point in the first half? Like, Beck has shown the ability to do that, and what he did in their comeback against Ole Miss, I think, gives them some confidence. But Miami line of scrimmage is really good. I mean, look, you know, I hate saying this on my old station here, but Miami's got the players that Clemson had 6 or 7 years ago, whether it's, you know, Malachi Toney or Reuben Bain Jr., Keem Mesidor, all of them. I mean, that's what Clemson has looked like in the past, and that's how they're built right now. Okay, well, if that's the case, everybody listening to my voice right now understands, okay, well, they're going to be able to do some things against Indiana that maybe catches them off guard coming in as, you know, an 8.5-point underdog. So I think Miami can hang around. I do. I just think it's imperative. Carson Beck can't throw the early pick six. They can't turn it over. Like, all those fundamentally sound cliches coaches like to use really apply. And if they can just hang around and, you know, get to the third quarter and you're sitting there at 17-13, roll the dice, anything could happen at that point in time. But I do like Miami at the line of scrimmage, and I did think that they were going to beat Ohio State a couple weeks ago. I don't think they're going to win this game, but I think they can hang around for sure.
All right, my stable question, last one, last 30 seconds. At my house for barbecue, Sean Miller or Bucky McMillan, like who's the better dude? Have you had either one of them yet?
Ooh, boy. I don't know Bucky as well. I had Texas 2 weeks ago and know Sean decently. I would probably slightly lean Sean. Slightly, but I, you know, they call it Buckyball, and he's kind of a different dude the way that they play. But ask me again next week, because I need to sit down and talk with him. My only conversation with him, we interviewed him at the basketball tip-off down in Birmingham 3 months ago, and was really unsure of kind of what he was going to bring to the table. But, dude, A&M is really good in hoops right now, surprisingly. Mickey, they got a little guy. They got a little guy, Lane is his last name, that can go off. He transferred in from North Alabama. He averaged like 17 points per game. I'm looking forward to talking to him tomorrow, because he's got to play well for the Aggies to have a chance. But slight lean Sean Miller, and emphasize slight, to be determined after we sit down with both guys tomorrow again.
Right. I'll ask you next week. But better than Chris Beard. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, right. I would say so. Yeah.
All right. Yep. Hey, safe travels. Enjoy the Salt Lake. Enjoy the game. We'll be watching tomorrow night with the A&M and the Texas Aggies and Texas Longhorns. I love how they do the Texas Aggie stuff. Have a great one, my friend. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully.
Appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you. Anytime.
Roy Philpott, ESPN, play-by-play voice. Much more when you come back right after this.
It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at Lake Kiwi Ford, and my team's ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and all always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
Got a Tiger at Clemson? Make visits easier and invest in your future with a new home at Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus. This family-owned builder offers spacious, personalized homes starting in the mid-300s with quick move-ins available. Build from the ground up and design your dream space with luxury selections available, or lock in a low rate on a quick move-in home today. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Your Clemson connection starts at sunrise.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple. The highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, doubledogvideo.com. Let us tell your story.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have 2-stall, 3-stall, and 4-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
At ATV Outfitters, they stock more ATVs, UTVs, motocross, and street bike products than anyone for hundreds of miles around. They have more than 10,000 tires and wheels on hand, and they pride themselves on great prices and getting you the accessories you need fast. Spend $75 or more and mention the Roar FM and receive either a cargo net, fender bag, or tow rope free of charge. Don't buy elsewhere, or you'll both lose money. Come by ATV Outfitters located at 2485 Rutherford Road. In Greenville.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio is here to help your home stay warm and cozy until spring with over 20 burning displays of vented and vent-free gas logs. Vent-free logs will heat for just pennies an hour and even keep you warm and cozy in the event of a power failure. Kraft Stove Store and Patio even features the Radiant Heating vented gas logs that have a real fire look and radiant heat. Visit Kraft Stove Store and Patio located on 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylors.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio.
Get lost in the sound of nature, not in long haul times.
At Upcountry Fiber, we believe our neighbors deserve better. Real people right here in your community, ready to help. No pressure, no surprise fees, just fast, reliable internet and friendly local service. And right now, you'll save $15 a month for a year on any fiber internet plan. Upcountry Fiber, certified local. Visit upcountryfiber.com/year of internet. Upcountry Fiber, a stronger connection.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Start your day the Mickey way, talking sports before the sun comes up. The Mickey Plyler Show, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. My great friends at the Patterson's Tax Service, they are making your appointments. They're taking your appointments right now. Get in. First in, first out. That's FIFO. Sam, FIFO. First in, first out. They'll take care of you. They're going to get you, maximize your tax return. There are so many unbelievable advantages of using these folks, their knowledge of the tax base backwards and forwards, and there's nothing you got in your taxes that are going to be any different than anything I've ever seen, but just knowing what to do and how to do it. And like, I don't know, Sam, if you buy for a small business, if you have new vehicles, do you lease those? Do you buy those? Do you depreciate those? Like, what's the best way to go about that? I've got two kids that would qualify for the 4547 form. I need to do that with the Patterson Tax Service. We'll do that when I do my taxes. I'll do that in March with them before the corporate deadline stuff. So love what they do. Never met anybody that ever started with them anywhere else. It's the Patterson Tax Service, PATTX.com, PatTax.com. In the last hour, I received texts about fried quail grits and gravy. I received texts about the Indiana's wide receiver corps, about NFL playoffs and weather, about point shaving. So, Sam, I'm going to leave it to you and the callers in the final 30 minutes of the show. Where do you want to go? We can go more of the Miami and Indiana game, even though we have Monday to talk about that. We can go into Clemson-Miami basketball. We can get into the NFL playoffs, the four games this weekend. We can get into the transfer portal stuff with you know, the Gamecocks losing one and gaining one of an edge yesterday. The point-shaving stuff. You know, one thing I haven't even mentioned is that us golfers, Sam, we love what's going on now because we have primetime golf out in Hawaii, and it's nice to see, to watch those beautiful, while it's 20 degrees here and seeing the Hawaii Islands out there. Nick Taylor and Kevin Roy shot 62 yesterday, 8 under par. One shot leader for Ben Griffin, who's gotten off to a great start once again. So it's a decent field there at the first event of at Walleye Country Club, the Honolulu, the first PGA Tour event of the year. So your phone calls, let's get into them.
I think one game season Chad is about to make your decision for you.
Okay.
I don't know what it's going to be, but I guess I know he's going
to
have one.
He does that often. So to our Tiger Diagnostic phone lines, where one game season Chad in Columbia joins us. Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah, Mick, if you're going squirrel hunting at this time of year, I mean, you hate your wife. I mean, it's freezing. I mean, dude, I got squirrels in my yard. I mean, you could just sit on your porch and shoot them with a BB gun. I mean, if you're leaving your house, walking in the woods, this cold, then you hate your family. Hey, Mick, so this question's for Sam, okay? So Sam was with your boy Billy Quark yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And Quark just makes excuse after excuse for Dabo. I mean, and so I just want to get Sam's perspective, because he hears what you have to say for 3 hours a day. He obviously heard Billy yesterday. And I just think, you know, like, I have high expectations for Dabo. I've seen him win at the highest level. So when people say, oh, well, you know, they tried in the portal, but it just didn't work, I just refuse to accept that. Like, Dabo has been successful when it was much harder to acquire talent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so I want to get Sam's perspective if I'm being unfair to Billy, because, you know, hearing like stuff like, yeah, well, you know, he's trying. It's just, you know, you can't get everybody. It's like, well, no, I refuse to believe that he's trying, because I've seen him get assistant coaches that he wants, you know, whoever. I've seen him get talent when people, you know, even, you know, 15 years ago, Mick, or 20 years ago when we got C.J. Spiller. Like, I've seen Dabo pull off just heroics in recruiting. So I just refuse to believe that, oh, he's trying to get a quarterback or trying to get an offensive line. And so I want to get Sam's thoughts, because he hears you,
right,
and then he hears Billy. And I texted Billy yesterday on the text line, you need to start hedging, dude. Like, you're going to look like a clown in a year to, you know, your listeners if you're not being honest.
All
or
right.
You just don't know ball. I want to get your thoughts.
I got one thing for you, though.
Okay, I'm here.
Because you live in Columbia. And
yep.
And in your neighborhood are prominent Gamecock fans.
Yep.
I'm going to make a case for you. I don't think – earlier in the year, I thought they're going to fire Lamont Paris. They're terrible, right?
Yep.
I don't think they're going to fire him. And let me tell you why.
I don't think they can, Nick.
Well, not just that. I don't think they're going to fire Beamer. I don't think they're going to fire Paris. I don't think they're going to fire Maneri. I think that – what it looks like to me is what we're learning from football is we're going to keep Shane Beamer, but we're going to redistribute the funds to players. And it's a bigger uphill battle in basketball because they're worse of all their sports, and they're not very good at it. And it's upper mobility is hard in all three sports for South Carolina. But I think you can turn around quicker in baseball because of the portal. And they went out, and if you notice in baseball, they spent a ton of money in the portal. In football right now, they're spending a ton of money in the portal. I don't know if they can do it in basketball or not. But my point is, rather than using buyouts and spending $10 million to buy out Paris or $30 million to buy out Beamer or $5 million to buy out Manet, they're just going to pay players instead and do NIL stuff. Make sense?
Yeah, I think that's smart. And, I mean, the problem for them, Mick, is their the effort they put into women's basketball. And I like what Poppy's doing. Like, I literally bought tickets for the BC game on StubHub for the women's game because my daughter wants to go. She's wanting to go to a girls' game, so we're going February 8th on a Sunday after church. But – Nick, I mean, like, the place is sold out last night, going crazy, and it's a top five matchup against Texas, and Beamer's there, and apparently he's got recruits there. And I just don't see how, if they're going to give rev share like that to the girls, how they can compete unless they're going, like, way over the cap. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're just, to me, they can't be elite in basketball. Or they can't be elite in football if they're putting money in women's basketball like that. There's no way they can return to their glory in baseball. And what happens is their men's basketball program, I mean, they were, like, unbelievably bad. I mean, I went to their Clemson Carolina game at Little John in November or December. I mean, they looked horrible. Like, we played really poorly and had a bad injury and missed all our free throws. And we kind of spring game and dominated. And so they just have no chance. So I feel literally kind of bad for Lamont. Kind of like I do for Riley. But want to get Sam Stahl if I'm being unfair to Billy.
There's nothing funnier. Nothing makes me laugh harder.
Old Billy Kwok.
Than when he talks about Billy Kwok.
Old Billy Kwok.
And I will be honest with you. From now on, I will never call him anything but Billy Kwok.
Yeah, he's done irreversible damage with that one.
So, Sam, you're up.
I've been pretty critical about the way they've operated in the portal on the offensive side of things consistently, wherever they put me on whatever show. I think the offensive line market is bonkers right now. I think you know this, Mickey. I would imagine any Clemson guy will tell you the same thing. It is bonkers financially, the same way it is in the NFL, where a high level or even a swing tackle gets paid a ton of money on an annual average value because it's a hard position to fill. And it's very difficult to accumulate actual quality depth on the offensive line. So I understand in a sense that Clemson is struggling if they are, because I think they are trying to get offensive linemen in here. I understand why they would be struggling to pay the ridiculous amount of money that starting caliber tackles are going for when they probably would like to allocate that elsewhere and had to allocate a lot of it to the defense. However, they're not bringing in a quarterback. It's not happening. It never really was, which is unfortunate, and I've hated that from the get-go. And they're saving a lot of money at quarterback, which to me means they should throw a ton of money at something else. And if you're going to throw a ton of money at something else, you might as well make it a premium position like an offensive tackle or an edge rusher, for like not necessarily for Clemson, but just in general, a premium spot. You don't need a premium position receiver, or a premium price receiver. You're good there. You don't really need another corner. You're okay there. And you don't really need a superstar edge rusher. You're okay there because you have Will Helt, who's very good. They probably should go and get an expensive tackle or an expensive guard or some sort of expensive offensive lineman and fill whatever's left in the budget on that because they need it. That's kind of where I am with it. The market is kind of just what it's going to be at that spot because it's always expensive. You have to pay it. I'm not asking for Jordan Seaton. He's going to get north of $3 million probably. I know Paul said it yesterday. He was going to get $3 million at least. I don't expect or want necessarily Clemson to be in on that race. But I do think they need somebody else there, and they are one injury away on an already inexperienced offensive line from being in a very dangerous position. But I understand the apprehension to not want to pay the ridiculous money that tackles are getting.
Well, you got to pay.
You got to pay to get good players. You got to give to get in this market, so... If it costs a lot of money and they have some money left over, I'd much rather them go and get a big offensive lineman who you can pencil in as a surefire starter than maybe move that money around elsewhere.
You got to pay the high school kids or the transfer kids. I mean, or else if you're just paying just your kids you have on campus, then if you're recruiting at a lower level, which they are, and you're rewarding those guys by their loyalty, but but they aren't great players, then except you got to improve your talent level. Do you do it in high school or do you do it in the transfer portal? One of the two. I don't like overpaying.
No, but you have to.
But I mentioned this the other day. I was talking to Larry Williams the other day. Like when we had some price gouging going on during COVID, I didn't like the fact that I had to pay as much as I paid for toilet paper. But I had to have toilet paper.
I don't have a choice. You want to protect your core. This offense is not going to function in a spot where Christopher Rosina stands in the pocket for like 3 to 4 or 5 seconds. Like he's going to have to get the ball out quick and make the correct first read and just run a quick, get your offensive playmakers into space type offense. And that's what Chad Morris is going to want to do. You need enough blocking that you can hold if something does break down and that first read's not there for a little bit longer, because Vezina is not the most physically gifted throwing the football in a lot of ways. You're going to need somebody to protect if something breaks down. I think they should go out and find an offensive lineman. I absolutely do. But I will also say I understand why they're probably frustrated with the absurd amount of money that offensive linemen are getting.
Yeah,
it's a difficult predicament to be in, but a couple texters have pointed out South Carolina's brought in some expensive offensive linemen. Is that smart? I don't know. Financially. They needed
well, they,
it.
But they had
they
to.
Had no choice.
Well, they had to. There's
so
no other way.
So if South Carolina's doing it, you would probably say Clemson should be doing it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And what Clemson's doing is they're saying that they like their recruited linemen already on campus more than they liked the portal guys, is what they're saying. Or at $300,000 rather than $1 million for a guy they'd really like. I mean, Streetland made a great example of yesterday. The kid at Auburn was terrible, but he's a big fish in a small pond. He's a medium fish in a very small pond.
Bad offensive linemen are getting a lot of money right now.
Yeah.
But I
Josiah Thompson was terrible.
And he got a lot of money.
And well, he's asking for $1 million. I'm like, what? Dude, did you? I watched you play. Like, you were awful. I had someone tell me about how bad Josiah Thompson was. He goes, this is someone inside football said, Parker didn't all of a sudden just become this super motivated kid for that one game. The fact is that Josiah Thompson just stunk.
Yeah. So, Chad, and my long, convoluted 5-minute answer to your question.
For Billy Kwok.
For Billy Kwok, to simplify it, I'm somewhere in the middle of where you are and where you think Kwok is.
Billy Kwok,
yeah, in the sense that I totally understand and want an offensive lineman just as bad as you do, and I think they need it, but also it is so stupidly expensive that they're probably going to, put it bluntly, overpay for crap if they do that.
Yeah.
And it makes it difficult to try and evaluate in that situation when any good offensive lineman is going to go for a comical amount of money. So I get why they don't have one in. I wish they did.
Dan and Charles said, any schools looking for a 56-year-old, 5'10", 185-pound, out-of-shape father? Because I'd like to pay for some of that money. Short break. We'll come back. Final segment of the week right after this.
Cooler weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen when thinking of and preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. Nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables sourced right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend celebration, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're traveling, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or a reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. The Ingles Floral Department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. Take it from me. You'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
Men, listen up. It's time to transform your life this season. Step up and take control of your health with Low Country Male Semaglutide, the ultimate game changer for men. Semaglutide will help shed those extra pounds over the holiday season. At Low Country Male, we're all about you. Feel stronger, look better, and become the man you've always wanted to be. Say goodbye to your beer belly with the help of Semaglutide. Visit Low Country Male today, where real men get real results.
PaceHomeCo.com's the place, plumbing, heating, air with a friendly face, electrical too. friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game, everything has to be right. So when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold white and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we help homeowners save energy and feel comfortable again. From spray foam and blow-in insulation to attic ventilation and cross-space solutions, we fix hidden problems that drive up energy bills and cause uneven temperatures. Homeowners save an average of 20% on energy costs, and you may qualify for up to a $1,050 Duke Energy rebate. Make your home more comfortable year-round. Call Koala Insulation today at 864-867-1779.
Get ready to discover incredible savings with Fort Hill Natural Gas. Say goodbye to seasonal worries and embrace year-round savings by adding gas appliances with cash rebates to your home. But that's not all. Call the office now and find out how you may qualify for residential volume user rate, adding even more value to your energy savings. Ready to start saving big? Visit FHNGA.com and explore the rebate page for more details.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit TigerMovingGreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
Hey, it's Esme Carter with Spectrum Paint, your independent and family-owned paint source with locations in Clemson, Greenville, Spartanburg, and Landrum. Shop the widest array of brands at Spectrum Paint, including Benjamin Moore Paints, Pittsburgh Paints, Rust-Oleum, Graco, Remobio, Ready Seal, Renner Wood Coatings, and more. Projects large and small, whether professionals or do-it-yourselfers, we have the coating, supplies, and expertise to take care of you. Visit us at spectrumpaint.com to find the location nearest you or connect with our local sales team.
He's opinionated, caffeinated, and never intimidated. It's the Mickey Plyler Show on The Roar.
Western Bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works.
I always talk about garage floor door with garage floors, the Carolina Flooring Specialist. Let me talk about commercial and resident, I mean, and industrial, I should say. Industrialized, yeah, you talk about these huge, massive. Tens of thousands of square foot, but how about your break rooms? How about your kitchens? How about your foyer areas or the showroom areas? Let them do that for you. You know, commercially, you have kitchens, you have automotive, anywhere you have spills, anywhere you have slips, you know, let these good folks take care of you. This garage floor, this epoxy-based floor, mechanical rooms, weight rooms, bathrooms, kitchens, and industrial type stuff, they do an awesome job with it. No one's been doing it longer than these good folks. It's my great friends at Carolina Flooring Specialist. Tim Worley would love to help you out. I'd love to come by and talk to you about it. 404-8158, 404-8158. So we got the Billy Kwok stuff taken care of. The part I asked Chad, and this is something that you guys talked about yesterday, something that others have asked me about as of late, Lamont Paris. Tony Morales asked about it yesterday. When do we fire Lamont? And maybe I'm wrong, but I go back to the last calendar year, in the last 365. South Carolina in baseball in the offseason went out and spent a ton of money on players. They didn't go buy out Paul Maneri and give him $5 million or $10 million, whatever they owed him. In football, they didn't go fire and pay the $30 million or whatever it would have cost to fire Shane Beamer. Instead, they went out and spent a ton of money in the transfer portal. And I don't know if you can – I mean, you can do it in basketball. I mean, Miami turned theirs around. You go buy about three or four players and you spend a bunch of money on that. Then to me, Donati, the new AD, that makes a lot more sense. So here's a question. I mean, you want to buy out Lamont Paris? You're going to owe him $10 million or $15 million? Buy him out and go pay, overpay for some new coach? Or you could just say, all right, Lamont, instead of getting $3 million for NIL, we're going to give you $8 million for NIL. Right, Sam? I mean, for economically, it's going to come down to players anyway. It's the NFL model we talked about. Don't fire Maneri. Just give him more NIL money and let him go buy players. Don't fire Beamer. It could cost you. You want to spend $30 million for Beamer, or you want to give him an extra $10 million this year to spend in NIL? Same thing with basketball. Like, Lamont Paris is not a great basketball coach by any stretch. He's had – this would be his third bad year in 4 years. But he'd be a lot better if he had better players, and who else are you going to go get? And they're not going to have good players for a year or two. So why not go ahead and, instead of paying the buyout, go ahead and spend a bunch of money on players instead? It seems like an interesting strategy. I don't think it's a terrible strategy.
I don't think he's a good coach. I think you can probably make very valid points about – you can make very valid points about the NIL situation at South Carolina and the hierarchy of sports at South Carolina and where basketball fits into that, men's basketball, that is. It's not even the most valuable or fan-supported basketball program on campus, and there's not really any schools, many at all, that can say that. South Carolina is one of them, and for good reason. But at the same time, I don't think Lamont is a great coach. I feel like he's in a tough situation. I feel like they...
Let me ask you this.
They probably can't fire him because of the money, but I think both things can be true, or not the money, but the situation he's in. Both things can be true at once.
Let me ask you this.
It's kind of a cop-out answer.
They're 10-7. If you gave him Miami's roster, what would he be?
If you gave him Miami's roster, I think he'd have... South Carolina, with South Carola's schedule?
Yeah, like 13-4.
You know, two or three more wins to it, probably, yeah.
Yeah. So what Miami did was Miami went out and spent a few million dollars. They went to Indiana, got a player. Went to Michigan, got a player. Went to New Mexico, got a player. Right? Went to TCU and got a player. And Miami was terrible last year. Right? Larnega's last year. Weren't they bad? Here to see what they were.
Yeah, they were awful.
They made a decision. They went out and hired a guy, a Duke guy, that's going to be a good recruiter supposedly and all this. But Miami went out and spent money in the portal. They didn't – I guess they fired Learning. Last year, Miami was 7-24. Probably better coach this year. That's fair. But they got a better roster. So do I want to spend $15 million to fire a guy or just go spend about $5 million on players?
I'm really just lukewarm on Paris in general. I'm not as down on him as some.
How about Shane Beamer?
Shane Beamer recruits his tail off. I'll give him that. That's something that no one can really question. Beamer tries as hard as he can to recruit. Now, is he a good football coach? Again, that's a different question. But he's brought talent in. That cannot be questioned, no?
Maybe
at the wrong positions at times. Maybe they've missed on some things. He's missed on a lot of coaching hires.
Yeah.
But there's talent on the team.
Right.
They were very good last year. Not this year, but last year. That was a very good football team.
I think the model now, though, is we're going to spend – it's the NFL. Like, I don't know if – it's the NBA. Like, you could go from not very experienced coach at all and then I've got a good roster, man. Like, I can do this.
With South Carolina specifically in basketball, it's just a tough place to convince people to come play at. Compared to other SEC programs, it's not an easy sell.
You know what helps help convince guys to come play?
Yeah, money helps, but still, SEC programs can match that money. They're going to be able to match the money that you can offer in Columbia and probably give you a more well-rounded, better chance of winning roster than what they can do. For Paris, I think the fact that he got them to the tournament a couple years ago bought him quite a bit of time. That was a very good start to his tenure there. That buys him time in that situation that other coaches in other places may not get with a couple down years coming after that, a couple of downright bad years because this is probably going to be not a great year. But again, it's a tough place to find talent and retain talent. They had Colin Murray-Boyles. weren't really able to take advantage of it last year. He has a decent eye for it, but he's got to build a better roster with whatever money he has as well, because what he's got right now isn't working. So it goes both ways. It's a cop-out, but it goes both ways.
Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. I'm good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate, 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com, BradHughesInsurance.com. I know I have better coverage, better rates, thanks to my great friend Brad Hughes at the Allstate Insurance Agency. Get in touch with him. He can help you out. Let me give you one thought before we get to Tennessee Tiger final phone call. On Monday night's game, because of this perception that Indiana is unbeatable, and that because of 56-22 and 38-3 the last two games, if Miami can stay in it early, right? Like, you don't have to have a lead, but like, just stay close. Don't do what Oregon did. Don't do what Alabama did. Don't lose a game in the first half. It was 35-7 out in Atlanta at halftime. It was 17-0 at halftime in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
If Miami just stays close, and Michael Irvin's over there, and the fans are getting into it a little bit, and you just hang around, the sense of belief is maybe.
Miami needs to stop the run. Or not even stop it. Slow it down. Look at the Iowa game. Look at the Penn State game. Look at the Ohio State game. Those are the games where Indiana was pushed. Those are games in which they were not able to run the ball at will.
Yep.
So that is A1 goal. Have to do that. B, I think they got to find a way to force a turnover. Have to find a way to do it. Mendoza's not going to throw a pick. Throw him off. Get him under pressure somehow. Make him do something uncharacteristically dumb. Knock the ball out. Fumbles are effort plays, like 80% of the time. Force a fumble. You have to try and find a way to create a differential here. Indiana's not going to do it for you. If this game is slowed down in the first half by Miami and they have it within 3 points at half,
yeah,
that's where you need to be.
Yep.
That's your only chance.
Stay close.
You can't go down more than a touchdown
Stay
or more in this game.
Stay close. That's right. Tennessee Tiger, good morning. I got a couple minutes. How you doing?
Sure, Mickey. No, doing good. I'm going to be interested on the game. Now, has anybody picked Indiana? Miami. I'm going to pick Miami. If Carson Beck doesn't try to be the hero of the game, you know, and just, you know, force the ball in there when it doesn't have a pass. And I picked Oregon in that last game, but there's no way to tell how that game would have turned out.
No, it could have.
Points.
No, if you listen to me, if you listen to me last Friday, you could have tell.
Well, but I missed two games in the playoff. But I'm going to be watching to see how the refs call if Miami can play them, you know, real, you know, man press and try to get them off the routes and make Mendoza hold the ball a little longer. But when that line, now answer this for me. I was watching something on TV, it wasn't a football game, but they had this stat down there. It said only three teams have been to the national title game in college football and won for the first time. And it was Miami in 84, Florida State and Florida. But now when Clemson won their first title, that's the first
wrong
time they had appeared in.
Yeah, that's
right.
Wrong. That stat's not right.
Well, you can look that up off the air, but
yeah, that's not right.
That's what they've got on, you know, some stat. Anyway, it's just hard for a team appearing for the first time, you know, to win. So, I think Miami can, if they'll just take the field goals and not try to go on fourth down. Anyway,
good stuff.
It's a long shot, but hey, it's gonna be a good game.
We'll see. Tennessee Tiger, appreciate the phone call.
Mickey, for what it's worth, in our contest, our final game of the year that we picked, it was an 8.5-point spread for Miami as the underdog. It's 9-3 Indiana. The only three that picked Miami to cover that are Faxon, Morgan, and I. So, at 8.5 points, that's kind of where we stand as a station.
I mean, I get it. And
it's
can.
It's a lot of points. And Miami's good.
It is within the realm of possibility. It can happen. But in making a pick, I'm going to go percentage-wise.
Indiana is the best team in the country,
yes,
and they're good at everything. It's hard to bet against them.
Yes.
Maybe I picked Miami because I want it to be a good game.
Yeah.
But I do see a world in which Miami can slow down the run a little bit and keep the game close. A texter made a very good point. You cannot have a drive like they had against Ole Miss where they commit 35, 40 yards in penalties. They'll have one, though. They will have one, and that might undo them in a game like this.
Once you see your mistakes, they will be amplified and magnified by Indiana's precision. So your penalties are magnified because they're not going to be penalized. Your turnovers are magnified because they're not going to turn it over.
Would you call them clinicians by chance?
Yes, I would.
Am I going to get a text every time they score on Monday night?
You will get many of texts Monday night.
Is that past bedtime? Is that you can stay up for that full game?
You will get plenty. I will wake you up with texts through that. If y'all can wake me up with Denver Bronco wide receiver talk, I can wake you up with this stuff. Skip the music. 2 minute drill. What do you have for me? I'm getting a bunch of Denver Bronco texts this weekend, I'm sure, from Landon.
The Landman.
Shout
out to the Landman. Landon, for your sake, I hope the Broncos win this weekend, but I don't think they are. Clemson men's basketball tomorrow against Miami. Little John, go to the game. Going to be good. Good two tournament teams. Fun game. Hopefully Clemson wins. Sunday, Poppy Ball. Clemson's, I believe, currently in bracketology, the last team in the tournament on ESPN right now. Wake Forest at home at noon. Go to that game, too. Basketball, Poppy Ball. Have some fun.
I like it. EricNewton.com for all real estate needs at Clemson. EricNewton.com. Students at Place to Live for next semester. It's hard to believe it's January 16th. You got to think about next semester.
Yeah. Good luck.
Why is that, Sam? Why do you have to do that so far in advance?
I've lived in the same house here for 2 years. I got lucky.
All right.
I didn't have to do it.
All right.
I renewed my lease in August.
Let him take care of you for sure. He'll do that. EricNewton.com. Let me thank Josh Williams. Let me thank Jonathan Montz from ReedLanco.com and Roy Philpott from ESPN. Sam, great job again. Up next, Faxton John, two of my favorite people. Have a wonderful weekend. Most importantly, tune in on Monday. That's when we'll see you right here on the radio.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.